journalist who worked for the Age newspaper in Melbourne was recently awarded $180,000 by the Victorian County Court after it was ruled that she was suffering from post-traumatic stress disorder when reporting on murders, gangland carnage and child abuse. This has raised serious questions over the failure of not providing mental health training and peer support services for news journalists who confront horrific, unpleasant and unforgiving incidents of crime, natural disasters and traumatic events. Dr. Alexandra Wake is a senior lecturer in media and communications at RMIT University. She told The Wire's Jared McLaughlin she welcomes the decision found by the court about this case.
What it has shown in its ruling is that news organisations need to be careful to ensure that their staff are well looked after, not just in a physical sense, but in their mental health as well. What happened in this case was that the journalist working for the Age newspaper had spent quite some time as a court reporter and as a crime reporter, covering all sorts of terrible cases, 32 murders. And after some time in that role, she said to her bosses, "I don't want to do any more." The bosses basically kept on asking her to continue, and as a result, she developed some quite severe PTSD. This judgment now says that newsrooms can't afford to ignore staff when they say that they've got a problem. And not only that they can't afford to ignore it when someone says they have a problem, but also to be on the lookout for it. Even if they look like they may be coping, they should be actually doing something to ensure that they are offered services if required.
Do you feel that newsrooms in all newspapers, television and radio networks and companies do fail in their due diligence and duty of care for their employees, including journalists who do work on reports in regards to crime?
I'm not sure that all newsrooms do, but there certainly has been a very much a tradition in the news organisations that I've worked for that if someone didn't want to do a particularly difficult job, they would be told things like toughen up, princess, and just to get on with it. That said, some news organisations are far better at supporting staff than others, and in this I'd like to highlight the ABC does a very good job offering a peer support program, and in that there are people who are actually trained to be peer support workers. So someone of the same level as another reporter sort of has the job of, say, calling them after they've covered a fire, or just, you know, going up to them in the tea room after a day out in court and sort of saying to them, "Hi, how are you going?" Sort of checking in on them and sort of offering, you know, the support and pointing out the support services that are available.
And with the workplace culture as it is, do you think there needs to be any resounding changes or overhaul in regards to rules and protocols and procedures?
Well, absolutely. This court case has certainly told news organisations, not just here in Australia, but throughout the rest of the world, that they do need to take care of their news workers. And I think we've seen in sort of allied industries such as police and paramedics that, you know, the very people who run towards a fire or an accident or any other kind of disaster are very much the people that need support. Those services, people who are involved in those other first responder situations, have had counselling and services as part and parcel of what they've done for many years. It's now something that journalists are also requiring, and news organisations need to sign up to that.
Does that include, like, making sure that they abide by their legal and ethical obligations and principles in making sure that there is support services and resources out there for their journalists who are gainfully employed with their company or organisation?
It's more about ensuring that if they don't do it, then they could face legal action rather than it actually being a legal requirement. So, I mean, I'm sure some news organisations probably won't change at all, but anyone that's covering death and destruction kinds of stories routinely, because it's not just, you know, a one-off incident that causes problems. Generally, it's repeated exposure. It can be very occasionally one-off, you know. So any organisation that does this regularly needs to ensure that they have procedures and processes in place. Most HR places will do that, but if they don't, they could contact the DART Centre for Journalists and Trauma Trauma, which is an Asia-Pacific branch here in Australia, based in Melbourne, and certainly Dr. Kate McMahon, who's the managing director there, can actually sort of, you know, help news organisations set up the processes that they need.
Dr. Alexandra Wake, senior lecturer at RMIT University, ending that story. By the wise, Jared McLaughlin.